Long before the 2016 presidential campaign, Donald Trump had spoken out frequently against the policies and actions of China. As a candidate, Trump increased his calling out of China. Today, some say that, well, maybe he softened his stance, while others look at the details of the Trump administration's policy on dealing with China and see a start of a greater position of power for the U.S. than before. Looking at tariffs, for example, the naysayers said that the American economy would pay the price. Yeah, when you look at China's economy right now, just with the talk and the debate and the challenges, jobs are being lost, economic growth has been stopping, and now currency manipulation has been resorted to by China. As all that goes on, of course, we watch and wait for what may or may not happen in Hong Kong. With us now to discuss all this is a retired Air Force Brigadier General who served as a China strategist for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's a senior fellow with the Hudson Institute, author of the upcoming book, Stealth War, How China Took Over, While America's Elite Slept, Brigadier General Robert Spalding. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Great to be here.
Hudson.org. Learn more about the insight and the education offered by the Hudson organization, Hudson Institute, which, again, Brigadier General Spalding is a part of. Talking about tariffs, which you recently wrote about as well in an op-ed piece that we've linked to over at our page, people were pointing to last week when Walmart was going to come out with their quarterly results saying, this is going to be the bellwether. This is going to tell us just how drastic, how dire things are going to be with all this talk about tariffs in China. And what did we see happen? Walmart's same-store sales up, profit up, revenue up, no impact, no change. Has the talk about tariffs been more talk than anything concrete to build something on?
Yeah, and I think if you look at the 600 companies that went and protested to the U.S. Trade Representative, essentially they're protesting their ability to get margins on the basis of, you know, low labor protections and low environmental protections. And so you have essentially slave labor in, you know, just a polluted country in China where the companies go over there. They exported their manufacturing there. And it's really, you know, hollowed out in the United States. You bring up Walmart's, you know, huge earnings increase. You know what's going to happen is as we continue these tariffs and manufacturing begin to move back in the United States, some of those 70,000 plus factories and 3.4 million manufacturing jobs are going to come back. When they do, people are going to have long, steady jobs with health care and retirement, but they're also going to be shopping at Walmart and actually have more incomes to spend. So I think people have the companies that are really heavily involved in China have been complaining the most. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see American people, particularly the blue-collar class, really benefit from, what we're doing.
Explain a little further the ways that a lack of tariffs to this point has empowered China, and more specifically, how much has it cost the U.S. and not just jobs, but it basically offers companies an incentive to leave America?
Yeah, I mean, you look at just Apple as one example. They made huge margins on their products to the tune. Now they have $265 billion in cash. All that cash is held overseas. So none of it comes back to the United States. In fact, now when you have new technology developed in the United States or, you know, investment going into the United States, those companies cannot actually grow and end up being bought out by the Chinese and taken over. And that's how, you know, results in, you know, enormous wealth loss each and every year because we can't get Wall Street and in particular our retirement funds to invest in our country anymore. They're all going over to China. And so when you have billions of dollars going to China to invest in their infrastructure, in their industrial base, you're essentially strengthening them against us, and we are being hollowed out. So if you look at Dresden, Germany, for instance, after the 8th Air Force bombing campaign, it's completely gutted out. If you look at Detroit, Michigan, after China entered the WTO, it has the same look. It's just using different tools to go about it.
Now, you talk about and you write about, too, in your piece, Bring Back America, Democracy, and Freedom, Make China Tariffs Permanent. Again, we've linked to Brigadier General Spalding's piece over to our website. You talk about people saying, well, it's going to be challenging and difficult to bring companies back because you have to uproot a system in place and throw it into reverse. But as you point out in your article, seemed to be done quite easy when it was going the opposite direction, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, essentially, you know, what you saw is enormous profits going to the wealthy that own those companies. And then, you know, everybody that watched the factories, that worked in the factories that were dismantled, essentially lost jobs that never came back.
How much of a crux was it when China was allowed to enter the WTO in 2002? How much did that change the playing field?
Oh, it completely. Before then, you know, each year you had to go in front of Congress and certify that China would have most favored nation trading status. And that meant that we would, for the next year, take off tariffs. And so no U.S. company was willing to invest any significant amount of money in China as long as China was not in the WTO. Once that happened and once we gave them permanent most favored nation trading status and those tariffs were taken off permanently, that's when China really started to grow. So they went from a less than a $1 trillion economy, you know, before that to now, you know, almost a $13 trillion. So their economy grew 13 times as a result of that effort.
Retired Brigadier General Robert Spalding. He is a senior fellow with the Hudson Institute, author of the upcoming book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. We'll get into his book in a few moments as well. Hudson.org, the website for the Hudson Institute. Learn more about their work, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I mentioned in the introduction that there are some who are saying President Trump is a little more soft now versus before when it comes to China, pointing specifically to, well, we're going to do tariffs, but we'll keep talking. We'll keep talking. Is maybe his strategy to just solidify a strong as possible positive economic base here in America so when the tariffs do indeed land on China's back, that it will make it that much more inviting for that reverse trend to take place and the companies will have no reason to feel uncomfortable about resetting up shop in America?
Well, so what's happened is you have a number of people that are pressuring him from Wall Street, from corporate America, basically saying, you know, these tariffs are going to harm the economy. And so, you know, he's getting it from both sides. And so essentially what the Chinese are doing are exploiting that that bipartisan, or not really bipartisan, but exploiting that rift in opinion. And particularly they're putting pressure on those communities that are really the most hurt. So, you know, for example, in 2017, when the president went over to China and we signed a bunch of deals, there was, for instance, an $80 billion deal for natural gas in West Virginia. And so China comes up later and they say, well, we can't actually fulfill that deal, when they really had no intention of doing so. The same thing with the farmers. You know, China is basically not buying agricultural goods. What they try to do is basically use financial and economic incentives to sway political opinion away from the president and really making it difficult for him to counter what they're doing.
And in your book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept, which is coming out in the beginning of October, I remember back in the Clinton years talking about China and their advances through in the aspect in the areas of technology, but you say it's been more than that. You also include economy, military, diplomacy, education, and infrastructure, and you're saying they've done it very successfully.
Oh, yeah, and as I was looking at this in 2014 in the Pentagon, I was absolutely amazed, astounded. You know, it's a brilliant strategy. It really takes everything that we thought was a strength, our openness, our innovation, our creativity, you know, the ability for Americans to do what they want to do and really to create wealth, like people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, and turns that into a vulnerability, because essentially they take all of that technology, talent, innovation, and wealth, capital, we have 40% of the investable capital in the world, and take it over to China to build their country up at the expense of ours.
And their work hasn't been through initiative. It's basically been they just have the money to create very large funnels.
Right. They essentially use, so for instance, imagine if you would, if the United States used Apple and General Electric, you know, AT&T as arms of the state, and they used that to, you know, gain American wealth at the expense of countries around the world. What you're describing is not a free trade system, but actually a zero sum system that benefits one country to the detriment of the rest. That's what they built, and so our foreign policy became, after the end of the Cold War, open markets lead to wealth, and wealth leads to democracy. So if we just open up, you know, the whole world will democratize. China really figured that out and understood that if they used globalization and the internet economy, they could really reverse that flow and not only steal wealth from the United States, but slowly change the United States into a totalitarian country. And they could do that using financial and economic incentives. For instance, there's a guy named Roy Jones in Omaha, Nebraska, that essentially, working for the Marriott Corporation, liked to tweet, and China called up the Marriott Corporation and say, fire Roy Jones. And so the guy is making $15 an hour and no longer had a job. So that's how they can influence at the individual level in democracies for people and companies and politicians to do what they want.
It'll be an interesting read. Again, it comes out at the beginning of October. You can pre-order it now over on Amazon or other online locations. It's called Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. Along with being a retired Air Force Brigadier General, served as a China strategist for the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's also a senior fellow with the Hudson Institute. Hudson.org is their website. Brigadier General Robert Spalding, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much.